the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here. We come bursting into your reality. We cannot contain ourselves. We just have to come through. It is getting so fun to be here with you. We look forward to this interaction the entire week. We count the minutes as we wait by doing nothing else, hoping in anticipation on how much fun this is going to be to talk to you. It is like something that you can imagine, the most fun thing you could ever do, like going to Disney World, the anticipation you go on a vacation to some far-off land, or you are on the verge of going into some new dimension in your life. Well, that's how we feel the whole time while we're sitting around in non-physical, waiting around with nothing else to do besides think about coming here. And then when we're brought forth into this reality, we are just surging with joy. Are you surging with joy? You're already here. You must be surging with joy the entire time that you're here. I cannot imagine what would have you not be surging with joy. It is so fun to be here. You get to move your arms. Whatever you want to do. Isn't this fun?
It is.
Is that the perspective that you're choosing on a daily basis? Or are you choosing a perspective like, humdrum, another day, what are we going to do? What's getting us down? Let's focus on what we don't want. Let's complain about the weather. Let's argue over nothing.
Get out of my head. Get out of my head.
Is this the mood? You're so excited to be here. This is awesome. Can you imagine walking down the street going, how are you? How are you? Isn't it great to be here?
I feel like
I do that. Well, that's how you felt the first couple of years when you were here. Pretty much the whole time. You're like, it's great to be here. Huh. And then slowly over time, you lost your perspective on how great it is to be here. How fun physical reality is. And then pretty soon, get down in the dumps and you're focusing on the things that aren't working out. And then you're trying to control those things that aren't working out. And then you're not doing a very good job at controlling the things because the secret of this whole thing is that you can't control anything. And then you figure out that you're probably just a victim. And oh my gosh, what am I going to do to survive? And I'm going to have to save money and I'm going to have to make sure that I have a mate who will provide for me or children who will provide for me or the government who will provide for me because I can't control things and it's looking like it's pretty bleak. And then you say, forget it all. Let's just go back to non-physical. And then once you get back to non-physical, you're like, what was I thinking? Let's go do it again. That was the most fun we ever had. Then you cross forth again. But we say, why not just take the attitude that you want to be here. Everything here is for your fun and enjoyment and growth and excitement, and you have things you can explore, and you don't have to control anything because everything is done for you. Everything is provided for you. Everything you ever need in your whole life has been provided for you. Every meal that you ever had, every breath of fresh air, every drink of water, every chance encounter with somebody, every meeting of some new person has all been provided for you because you desired it and it came. That's all there is to it. So stop worrying about the future. Stop regretting the past. Live right in this moment. And in this moment, isn't this the funnest time to be alive?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it the funnest time to be alive? You could say it's the worst time to be alive.
Yeah.
You could say it's the best time to be alive. You could say there's some good things and some bad things. But in reality, this is the best time to be alive. There has never been so much going on. There has never been this opportunity to do whatever you want to do, to be whoever you want to be, to make it up as you go along. Never before could you do what you can do now. The most freedom, the best time to be alive. You can do anything you want to do. So what do you want to do? Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
I'll go.
Go.
Kyla and I were talking before the call because we kind of addressed this in another call with her. And I've been having this like really, really anxious feeling. And then as Kyla and I were talking, I realized I'm bracing myself. I'm clenching my jaw and I'm bracing myself. I must be anticipating coming to Disneyland.
What is the anxious feeling? Is it an anxious feeling, a positive emotion, or a not so positive emotion?
It's not so positive.
So anxiety is derived from fear. What is the fear?
I have no idea.
The fear that you can't control everything?
I thought I was working on that and letting it go. And I don't know. I feel like I go up and then I drop down. And then I go up and then I drop down.
And that's perfectly natural. But when you feel anxious, you realize that there's a fear. And so your work is to identify that fear. That little fear that gnaws at you, and if you don't analyze that fear, you're going to feel anxious and anxious and anxious, and then you're going to go to sleep, and you're going to wake up feeling okay until you think about what you were feeling anxious about, and then you remember how anxious you were, and you're going to be anxious all over again because that fear has not been resolved, right?
Yes. Mm. I wake up with a migraine.
Anxiety is one of those things. You can't control the uncontrollable, and that's what makes you feel anxious. You can't control what's going to happen to your sons. You can't control what's going to happen in the environment. You can't control any of that stuff, but you can have faith that the universe is working it all out for the best. And you know how you can have faith? Because if you lived in 1800 and you saw what it was like to live then, and then you come to 2017 and you see what it's like to live now, you can see that there is a definite improvement in life for every human being on the planet from then to now. It gets better and better and better and better and better. And sure, there were in between, there were wars and there was some natural disasters and there were some upheavals and there were some changes in belief systems. And then gradually improve. And that's how the society evolves and it always gets better. So the anxiety is that something's going to get worse. But it's not really true. It's just a shifting of reality. And how you perceive that really is you perceive it as good or you perceive it as bad, but that's your choice.
Right.
So you're saying, I am worried about perceiving something as bad.
Well, yeah. I think what I'm perceiving as bad right now is my lack of direction.
How could that be bad?
I don't know. I know.
That sounds like a good thing.
It is a good thing. And that's why
you want to do.
Yeah.
If you had direction, well, that would preclude all these other things you wanted to do. Yeah. But the lack of direction means that you get to sift and sort and figure out what it is you want to do. You get to play with it and not commit to anything. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong. You could go the rest of your life without doing anything. But see, you are doing things. You're just not perceiving those things as valuable.
Right. You're right. I'm not.
How many people are on two famous podcasts explaining the laws of the universe to millions and millions and millions of entities all throughout the universe?
Yeah.
How many people? There's a handful.
Yeah.
That's right. That is a purpose. That is a direction right there.
Okay. That's good focus.
That's just a matter of perspective, but that could be enough to last lifetimes.
Yeah.
Because these interactions are being recorded and will be listened to for years and years and years to come. And then in 200 years, someone will dust off a old video that's been around and say, hey, look, they were talking about this stuff way back then. And this was Wendy Pierce was on that show before she even knew who she was.
I love it.
The first female president.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Of the universe.
Of the universe. Yeah, there we go.
So it's just a matter of perspective, right?
Right.
So there is no need for direction. You don't control your direction. You have no control of that.
Really?
You didn't choose to come on this podcast. 5 years ago, you said, I'm going to sit down, write my goals, and it's going to be on this Joshua Live podcast. Did you choose that?
No.
Well, how did you get here then? You had to control the whole situation to get here, right?
Right.
But here you are without controlling it, without choosing it.
Hmm.
So you're just trying to figure out how to get from A to Z without going to B.
Okay.
And here we are in the middle of B. And C is going right around the corner.
Woohoo.
And then E and F. So the anxiety is that you don't think B and C and D are around the corner.
Right.
But they always are.
Hmm. Even if we don't allow?
Well, you can say you're not allowing, right? You can call it anxiety. You can call it no sense of direction if you feel like it. You can do all those things. And that's resistance. But ultimately, what you really want is going to come because you're going to be enthused about something. And then you're going to go in the direction of that. And sure, if you're not ready for it, if there are people who want to be on this live Joshua call right now who just aren't ready for it. Mm. And so they are getting up the nerve. They are having a little fear right now, right? They don't want to be talking about themselves where everyone can hear them and possibly not sounding as good as they want people to think they are, right?
Mm.
So that fear is resistance because they could be on this today and they could be interacting with all of you and all of us today. So, but they're not ready and they're not a vibrational match. And one day they will be ready and one day something will happen and then it will come on. And until that time happens, they're resisting. But is that a bad thing? No. They can listen to it. They don't have to be here.
Right.
Gary went to Abraham seminar after Abraham seminar after Abraham seminar, raised his hand, pulled it down, raised his hand, pulled it down, raised his hand, pulled it down, was thankful he never got called up. Gary.
Of all people.
Yeah. Gary. Wow.
So it's just a fear. But when you feel bad about it. Gary didn't feel that he was bad for not raising his hand or not wanting to be up there. He just was had the fear, and that was okay.
Wow.
So yeah. The anxiety is really something that's going to dip you into a lower emotional state of being, and then you're really going to attract thoughts that line up with that anxiety.
Yeah.
And those thoughts are going to keep you in this anxious mood. But if you can change that around and say to yourself, there's nothing to be worried about. Everything is happening for me. Everything is working out perfectly. I'm going to go with the flow of whatever happens. If I get an invitation to this or an invitation to that or an interest in this, I'm just going to go in that direction. There is no timetable. Nothing has to happen right now. And let's just see what happens. Everything's worked out perfectly so far. I expect everything to work out perfectly in the future.
Got it.
All the rest of it. Super easy. This is the super easy.
Super easy.
This is the easiest reality you got.
Super easy.
And let's talk about faith. Faith that it's all working out.
Faith.
I used to, because let me preface that. I used to think like when I'd hear religious people talking about faith, I just felt like it was a bunch of mumble jumble. And it's like, what do you mean faith? And now I'm starting to grip more what faith means. I want to hear your take.
You can look back on your life and see how you never needed to worry.
No, you're right.
You were taught that this is an environment of fear and that you had to struggle and scrape and scratch and make things happen in order to survive. We come and tell you that this is a reality where it's a playground completely designed to support you in every single way and provide for you everything you need when you need it. And there's nothing you have to do other than feel good and go with the flow of life. That you do not have to scrimp and scratch and save and fight and claw your way through life. You have to focus on what you enjoy and move in that direction. All the animals, all the organisms of this reality operate how we have been describing it. They all realize that everything is provided for them. No deer has a bank account, right? No bird has a knapsack. It is just they are inspired to go and eat wherever they're inspired to eat and go and breed and mate and all these things, right? Humans think that the world has to be controlled in order to survive. And there's a reason for that. Because if you can control your environment by building a house, well, it's a lot safer and it's more comfortable and it's easier to do what you need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this predetermined thing that you're going to build things and create things and then control things. Fine. However, everything needed to build whatever you have to build is available to you. Every meal that you've ever had in your whole life was provided for you. You may have thought that you got the job, and then you got the money, and then you got the ability to go out to the restaurant and pay for the meal. But all of that stuff was there done for you. The job, you were led to the job, for instance. You were led to wherever you were led to. It's all provided for you. And you can see that as you look back on life. And so now you just have to have faith that everything you need will be brought to you. And other than faith, what are you going to do? What is the alternative to faith?
Anxiety.
Anxiety, exactly. Yeah. So it's your choice. You can be in the mindset of faith, which is a love-based mindset, right? It's above right. the line. Right. And then when you're in this idea that everything's going to be provided for you, you're going to start to notice how things are provided for you. You're going to have the attitude that things are provided for you. You're going to have the belief system that things are provided for you. And as you have this belief system, you enter this state of allowing. And lo and behold, things are provided for you. You see how this happened for you, how this thought came to you, how this idea came to you. And then now you are in this, you have created this environment where you're going with the flow and noticing how good everything is. Mm-hmm. If you have anxiety, you're saying, you're noticing how things seem to not be working out for you, how they seem to be going wrong, because your focus of attention is on those unwanted things, right? Naturally, you will naturally get the thought to look over here at something that confirms your belief that you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You don't want to know what's going to happen. That's the truth. If you knew what was going to happen, then you wouldn't have any of these gleeful, exciting moments in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because that's kind of how I've been feeling. I've always felt that I've been led. I mean, I went from like one thing to the next thing, and it was always leading. And now I have no sense of that. And maybe that's my whole lesson is patience and allowing.
Well, you are being led. Every time you have a thought or an idea or an inspiration, you are being led. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you either go with those thoughts and ideas and inspirations, or you reject them due to fear, right? You may have the thought to get into a conversation with Kyla.
Right.
And prior to that thought, you may say, oh no, she might be busy. Oh no, it might take too long. Oh no, whatever, right? But you had the thought, or she had the thought, you called her or she called you, right?
Right.
You had a thought when you saw the phone ring or whatever to answer it or not, to push through those little fears. See, and this is what's leading you further and further and further. So that conversation is one more step. And showing a house is one more step. And being on this podcast is one more step. You're doing these things. It's just your perspective is that you should be doing something more concrete or more things more often.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you are not inspired in the moment to do anything, if you're honestly not inspired to do anything, then there's nothing you can do that will result in anything of substance anyway.
I'm realizing that, yes.
Right. So relaxing is an excellent thing to do. Okay. But if you are serious about this,
I am.
If you have a time to relax, then you might meditate and you might really think about the thoughts you're thinking. What thoughts are coming to me now? Am I in a high emotional state of being? Yes, I am. Therefore, the thoughts that come to me now are all inspiration. So what are these thoughts? And then you have a thought to do this, and you will say, I don't have time to do that. That costs money. That doesn't sound like fun. That's not enjoyable. But the thought is not asking you to go to the end. The thought is asking you to get on the computer, make a phone call, take a drive, things like this. Little tiny steps.
Okay.
Yep. Pay attention to that. Do you know that you receive inspiration 10, 20, 100 times a day?
Yeah, I've been more and more aware of that.
Right. If you're not aware of it, you may think you might go days without inspiration. Mm. But what's really happening is every thought while you're in a high emotional state of being is an inspiration. And you are not just you, but you as humans are used to discounting these thoughts because they don't seem like fun. They seem like it'll work. They seem like I might be bothering somebody. They seem like you might be inappropriate. All these little fears. But if you have this inspiration, you can work through the little fear.
I have a question about that because I feel like, Wendy, I'm more aware now of these inspired thoughts. What I feel like is happening, though, is that I'm just bouncing from inspiration to inspiration to inspiration.
Excellent. There's nothing wrong with bouncing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be getting anything done. You have this idea that I should focus on this one thing and get that one thing done. And when that's done, then I'll have this feeling of pride in being able to get that one thing done. That's not what you're here to do. You're not here to do anything. You're here to bounce. As you bounce, get into this rhythm of going here, 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 quick, bing, 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 bang, boom. It's completely a complete change in how you're used to operating. It's a radically different approach to life.
So sometimes I feel like I'm spinning and I don't know.
Spinning because that's your perception. You think you should be getting things done.
Okay.
What do you really have to get done? You're doing everything you need to do. Are you taking care of your children?
Yes.
Are you feeding yourself?
Yes.
Are you showering occasionally?
Occasionally. Occasionally, yes.
Are you talking on these podcasts?
Yeah.
Have you missed a podcast?
No, you haven't.
You're doing everything you need to be doing perfectly. And if you have the true desire to really do something, then you will get the focus you need when you need it. Until then, we're learning. It's like being in college. Are you going to just take one class every day, the same class all day long? Are you going to take a variety of classes? Mm-hmm. Are you going to bounce from class to class to class to class to class? That doesn't seem like it's would work out. If you're going to be in a math major, shouldn't every single class be math? Just math, 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 math? That would make a very dull person, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Super focused people, like geniuses, get stuff done, but who cares? If they're not here to get stuff done. Who cares? Right? That's all about gratifying the ego and making yourself appear to be worthy. Right? You're still attached to these results, these outcomes. But who cares about the outcomes? All you are, when you get to non-physical, there's nothing you can do, right? But bounce around. You're going to be bouncing into the life of this person. You're going to be bouncing into the life of that person. But actually, you're bouncing at them all at the same time, too. You are going to spread yourself thin, but in the non-physical, you are thick. So you can go a long way. Think that you have a certain amount of time, but that is such an illusion.
Right.
You have no clue how much time you have. You can get everything done.
That's. I feel like I have had some evidence of like what can be when I do just relax into it and just like feel free to bounce. I had the day off on Saturday. I mean, we did the round table in the morning and that was a really fun episode. And then the rest of the day, I just gave myself grace to do whatever felt good. And early in the day, I felt inspired. Like I recognized that I felt inspired to talk. And then I felt, and then I recognized that it was like inspired to talk about sex. And then I was like, oh, I should do a podcast. But I backed off for a second and then I was like, I'm just wanting to talk to somebody. It could take the shape of a podcast episode, but like, how could I do this? And so then I had another idea to ask in the chat group that I'm in and some fear came up because what if nobody wants to talk to me or what if all of these things? And so then I pushed past that by just like finding this one girl and sending her a message and saying, what are you doing right now? I have this thing. Do you want to talk with me? And so we ended up talking and it was a really good, just natural conversation. And after we finished, I just remembered like, it could be this easy all the time, you know?
If you had the inspiration to do it and you did it, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
All the hard part was getting to that part, actually doing the inspiration because you had to battle through the fear. And had you pressed record on that conversation, that would have been a podcast.
I did. So it is recorded.
There's a podcast.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all you can. Anything be easier than that? And now that that's created, you are here to create. You've created something. That is something that will be possibly around forever.
Another part of that that I just remembered is like, so I was open to whatever happened. And so I messaged her and she said, yes, I'd love to. I'm driving, but I'll be home. How about we do it at this time? And I said, that would be great. And then she messaged me at that time and said, hey, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. And I said, no worries. I've got all day. And then it ended up being probably an hour and a half after the original time that we scheduled. And every time she messaged me and I could feel her fear, you know, she felt rushed and she just wanted, like, this thing that she was doing was really important to her, but she also was worried about what I thought. And so I just kept, like, flowing the love back and saying, hey, take your time. I'm staying busy. And I was more productive in that, like, hour and a half than I had been all day. And not because I was trying to make myself be, but I had time. I was inspired to get on the Joshua Facebook page. And so I played on there. And then I did, you know, I had a list that I'd been inspired to make earlier. And I actually checked some things off. So, okay.
Isn't it funny how the inspiration always leads you to where you want to go anyway?
Right. Wow.
If you make a list of things to do today, well, then you've got to do those things on the list, and you are doing it without the universe, we will say, right? Mm. If you just say, what do I do now? Well, the universe will say, hey, make this call, go here, do that, blah, 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 whatever you want to do. It'll seem like you're bouncing around, but if you look back, you might even see how productive it was, just as you did, but you might also miss how productive it was because you were so used to focusing on churning out time, producing something of, you know, significance to somebody else.
One thing I've just gotten to recently, I've always just enjoyed making lists, like sort of putting my thoughts of what I quote unquote need to do in one place. But I've recently forgiven myself for like making lists and then getting one or two out of 13 things done.
Well, make a list, but only do the fun things on the list.
Okay. And then what about the other things?
The other things aren't important.
Well, I like what you said there, Joshua, that if we focus on things that are significant to someone else, that's not where our inspiration is at.
And it's always done from fear.
Yeah.
And if you do anything from the stance of fear, you, like, they expect me to do this, I better be on, you know, here on time, they're going to expect this, what will they think of me if I don't do that? Those are thoughts of fear. That's a stance of fear. And all you can attract is more thoughts of fear, right? More thoughts that resonate with that. And when you do that, you disengage the power of the universe. What you want to be is, if it comes into my life, if I'm here at work anyway, let's just make this the greatest day ever. And if things come to me, we're going to be able to handle them left and right. And I am going to be as enthusiastic as Joshua was when they come to these calls. Right? Because if it comes to me, it's for me. And my job is to see how that's for me. It may not seem like it's for me, but that's my old approach to life. And what I'm going to do now is embrace it. And if I embrace it, I know that I am tapped in to the power of the universe, and the thoughts that I need, the ideas that I need will flow to me if I am in an allowing, enlightened, happy, positive emotional state of being, right? But if it's like, oh no, I have to do this again. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like this person walking in the door. Oh, this is a drag. Then you're just not going to be in tune to the resources that will allow you to make the best of the situation.
See where it goes. That's so interesting.
This comes to a question Alette had. Alette, would you like to talk about that?
My question of today?
Yes, about your getting too much work.
Yeah. I work as a translator. We translate large documents usually, and sometimes when we're busy, someone else comes in and says, hey, I have a translation that's urgent. Can you please do it? And well, I stress out. No. Mm-hmm. We're busy now, and I have a colleague. And oh, well, perhaps we can do it, and we can fit it in. And then, oh, no, how can you say that? Mm-hmm. We don't have the time. And then I get stressed out, and anxiety, it's terrible.
So that is dipping into a low emotional state of being.
Yeah.
And from that state, you attract thoughts like, I'm never going to have enough time to do this. They're going to be mad at me for not getting things done. They are important documents that need to be done on time. They're going to have to hire somebody else or outsource it or find a new procedure or get somebody else or do all these things, right? All these negative thoughts come to you, which makes you feel worse and worse and worse and worse.
Bothering me is because I'm afraid. I don't know. I can't do it fast enough.
because I don't get the words or the sentences or the right terminology. I can't find it, and it's not coming to me.
Right, because you're in a low emotional state of being.
And in a hurry.
And in a hurry, and you're in a state of fear. So we're just going to say that you're below the line, you're in a state of fear, and you believe that you have to manufacture the thoughts from one language into another language, right, mm-hmm. by yourself. It's all done in your brain, you think.
Yes.
What's really happening is you have your million. Would someone else like to explain to let who her million is?
It's all the millions and of non-physical beings that are always with you, and they're your supporters and guides. And
so I've heard have a million about it, people who are non-physical, who know the words, who know how to translate from one language to another, who are there giving you the thoughts. If you are in a happy, productive, high, enjoyable, emotional state of being, you are receptive to those thoughts. Those are the thoughts that are coming not from you, but from the universe, from your million, mm-hmm. right? If you try and do it on your own, then you're struggling to find the words. If you are trying to engage them, or if you are engaging them, you will find it flow fast enough. The issue is that it doesn't matter how fast you do it, because if you could only do what you can do, and what you want to, the attitude that you would want to have is, yes, bring us more, bring us more, bring us all of it, we'll get it done. And then you will say, then you will get the thoughts, okay, well, everyone, my million, how do we get this done? And people will say, well, you do this one, and your colleague does this one, and we're going to outsource all these other ones, and you're going to be this production department of translations, and people are going to be excited to bring you more and more stuff, because the more stuff you get, the more happy everyone else is, and the more happy you are, and you will just get good at delegating it out to others. Delegate this, do this one, delegate that one, whatever you're inspired to do. The people and the resources will come to you. There's nothing you have to do. You are just in this mindset that it's all up to you. Well, it's never up to you. It's just your belief it's up to you. Always, in every situation, with everyone working on anything, especially anything creative, it is all comes from non-physical. All you are doing is taking non-physical information and making it physical. That's all you're doing. When you take something from one language and you type it into the computer and print it out in another language, that's from non-physical to physical. Well, we should say physical to the non-physical back to physical.
Yeah.
Everything is coming, any idea that comes into physical reality started from non-physical. Right? So your job, the only job you have no other job, is to get into a high vibrational state that you are aligned with these higher ideas, not just of the translation. That's a minor idea. You're already there. You're already an excellent translator. You have all the tools you need to do that. What you want to do is get into the state where you want to say, bring it on. We can handle it. We can do it all. We're excited to get all the translations you can do. We'll figure out how to support you in what you're doing. Because this is thrilling to us. Yep. So imagine that difference between trying to control the situation by, no, don't give us any more work. Don't give us any more work. I hope.
That's what I hope, Please go away.
Hopefully no one will give us any work. Hopefully we'll have a speak. Hopefully nothing will come in to say, bring in more. Bring in more. We want more. We want so much more. Bring in more. We can handle it all. And you're in charge of that department. And nobody has to worry. Oh, because if you are the one saying, don't give us work, well, someone else is going to say, well, there's a little blockage there, and we need to open up the blockage by hiring another person or by doing something else, right? You don't want someone else to do that. You want to be in charge of all that.
Yeah.
You want to bring it in. Yeah. Okay. So a simple change in attitude. I want all the translations possible, and the more that comes in, the better I'm going to feel. And when I feel good, I'm going to get inspiration of what to do next.
Okay.
And you don't have to do it all your own.
Well, I can practice again tomorrow.
Practice tomorrow. You get to practice every day.
Thank you.
That's interesting. Now, I have a little design job that I thought I wanted to do, and I just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and that's, I need to.
Let's change the language there. I keep fearing it and
fearing it, yes. Because it's something I don't normally do, so that's out of my comfort zone. That's
if it
exactly.
Can't ego, It's for you.
I just wrote that down. Thank you.
So now let's go wild with it. Let's have the enthusiasm. I can't wait to get into this. And whatever happens, happens. This is going to be a learning experience. I'm going to give my opinion of what should be done in a situation. I'm going to listen to what the client wants, and then I'm going to infuse my design sensibilities into this. And if it's appreciated, great. If it's unappreciated, great. I am just a part of this situation, but I'm going into it with this attitude that it came for me. I don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to learn something in this situation too. Mm-hmm. And if I have fun doing it, because I'm going to make myself have fun doing it, that's all I care about. It's just going to be the fun. I am not attached to anyone's opinion of the work or how they are happy or unhappy or struggling or not struggling or going with the flow or resisting. That's them. That's not me. I'm going to be the one completely enthusiastic and fully 100% confident. You cannot be in a state of love unless you are confident. Confidence equals the state of love. Acceptance equals a state of love. You have to be confident that this is for you and that you are a vibrational match to it. That's why it's in your reality. And therefore, you are meant to be part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to be accepting that the other person might have fear and might not know how to deal with their fear. And they might be a happy client without fear or a crappy client with fear. Right? It's not up to you. It's up to them. You can ease their fears by saying, don't worry about this. It'll all work out. I'm the best that there is. Nobody's better than me. This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be easy. I'll walk you through the whole process. You're going to love it when it's over. Or you can feed their fear by going, I don't know what I'm doing here. All right. I agree with you. You think this is a good color? I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know which color to use.
I like that.
Confidence. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to be confident. I'm going to come from my place of love. Huh?
Yeah. Be enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, confident, come from a state of love, which I am getting really good at being a being of love. That's my wheelhouse, baby.
You are a limitless being of love, and you love expressing love.
Yes.
And you are accepting of other people who can't express love because they are in a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
People are used to being in fear. They're not used to being in love. Being in love causes them fear.
Yep.
Because what if they're not loved back? Right? Because they think that means something. They think it means if people love you, that means you're good. No, you're good anyway. And if people love you, it just means you're allowing yourself to be loved. That's all that means. It doesn't say anything good or bad about you. It's just your approach to life.
You know, that's interesting. You say that allowing myself to be loved, because I find myself when people are coming back at me with love or with positive words or in like, oh, that was, you know, compliments. I like start bracing. I don't know. I do that. I like, oh, no, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to tell me that kind of thing. I don't know.
Because you're not allowing yourself to be loved. Why would you not allow yourself to be loved?
I don't know.
Because you don't think you're worthy of love. But you are worthy of love.
That's interesting.
Everyone is worthy of love. Everyone may resist it because it may say something about who they think they are. Right?
Yeah.
You might be a beautiful person. And you might get a lot of attention from a lot of people. And you might resist that. Or you might be a rich person. And you might get a lot of attention from a lot of people. Because you think that they're loving you for the wrong reasons. Right? So you think there's a good way to be loved and a bad way to be loved. And you want to be loved how you want to be loved. And you think that the way you're loved means something about you. But it has nothing to do with you. It's always the other person. And you can allow what comes in, or you can resist what comes in, completely up to you. You might say that if your husband gives you a diamond ring tomorrow, that means he loves you. And you might say that if he takes you to McDonald's for lunch, that he doesn't love you.
Yeah.
It's all made up, isn't it?
Yeah.
You could say that if he gives you a diamond ring, that he's trying to pull something over on you. And that if he takes you to McDonald's, he really does love you because that's what your first date was, for instance. You're right. Making it all up. So you might as well make up what story empowers you.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting because when I'm giving up.
Yep, you're resisting it. And that's fine too, but just know that you're resisting it.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Kate, how is it in Paris?
Thank you. I had a moment today, I'm very excited to share this, where I just felt completely blissed out. I mean, it hasn't happened to me practically since the beginning, where I was just in the street at lunchtime, having these positive thoughts and giggling to myself. And it had happened all morning. And it felt so good. And I was like, okay, this is nice. And I think it has come in part from the diet book. And I wanted to give a plug for that because I got the two diet playbooks and the diet book. And one of my questions was, now, can I use the playbooks for another theme? I would tend to say yes. I'm thinking money.
The playbooks is a trick. The Joshua diet is a trick.
I love it. I love it.
The whole thing is a trick.
I thought so.
What we were doing is writing what we always write in the other books in the form of a diet book. And here and there, we would talk about creating a lean body. But what we're really talking about is creating a healthy mind. And from that healthy approach to life and that healthy outlook on life and the healthy perspective, everything that you want comes to you naturally. Right?
Yes.
So those people who choose the book to create a lean and healthy body will find themselves probably creating better relationships and abundance before they create the lean and healthy body. Right? Because they're not as attached to an outcome in those areas. They think they're focused on creating a lean body. Then all these things will be happening that they'll start being blissed out by being enthusiastic about where they are.
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Because we will sneak in any way we can. So absolutely.
I love it.
You don't have to do anything differently. Just do exactly what's on those playbooks. And you will be focused on gratitude and appreciation. You will read a quote. You will think about the inspiration that you've received. You will think more about what, I felt this inspiration and I took this action, and then that led, and then you'll start gaining confidence in the inspiration that you receive, and you'll be better at pushing through fear, and you'll create an environment of allowing, and in that environment, everything you want will work for you.
Mm.
Right? Mm. So, but the things you're attached to most, right, like a big bank account,
yes,
that outcome is going to be your stumbling block because you think that's within your control. So you give up all that control and just go with the flow of life and enjoy yourself and not worry about the big bank account. Just be blissed out more and more often. Mm. That state of bliss is a state where you're receptive to doing things that you want to do. And you might say that, okay, I have this inspiration to take a walk in this neighborhood. And then you'll say, well, I should be working during that time. How is this going to get me the big bank account, right? And you will see that it's not the big bank account that you want. It's the being blissed out.
Mm. I wouldn't mind the big bank account too, though.
You'd rather have a big bank account?
No, I wouldn't mind it.
Be blissed out?
I think that maybe, see, I was thinking this weekend a lot about the lottery. And there's something about the lottery which I love, which is the sort of rush that would come with that in one fell swoop of feelings, of emotions, of like, oh my God, which
I really
like. And that
would last for exactly 2 seconds.
But that would be good. That would be so nice to feel.
Well, being blissed out is the same feeling.
It is. It's easier to reach than I think people realize. Like if you just start with little, like with whatever you were feeling at lunch that day, I mean that, amplified, like if you focus on that feeling, that's what I've been doing, is just focusing on that feeling. Then I find that it grows. And then the next thing I know, I'm looking at a wall and like having really good feelings, like that bliss feeling, like extreme.
Sure. I mean, I can see how one is looking for the external to feed the internal, whereas the other is working on the internal, and that is work. I mean, yes, you say it's play, but you also say in the diet book, and this is how I got to feel bliss today, was this focus on beliefs. These are my beliefs, changing my beliefs, recognizing the beliefs, etc. All of that's work, as opposed to winning the lottery and poof.
But remember, the lottery can't come in the way that you want it to come unless you do the work on the inside first. The lottery winning is just a reflection of how you already feel. We will give you an example. Most people who buy lottery tickets have this perception that their life will be improved with money. And all people who win the lottery with that perception find that their life is not improved with the money. All of them. What happens is that whatever feelings were predominant they had prior to it are intensified afterwards. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to feel worthy, they end up feeling less worthy, right, than they already did. If they were saying, when I win this money, then I can give my relatives money and they'll appreciate me and I'll feel worthy. You understand where this is going? And then when you can read stories about this over and over
I did.
And you'll see that the people never thought it was enough money. They were always wondering how come they didn't give them more, or how come this person got more than they did, or – and then those people who got money resented the money because they ended up losing the money too, and they felt worse off than they did before because they thought the money would solve the problems, right? And Gary has a friend who, when he was 25 – made this invention and was set for life. He then moved to a condo on the ocean. He lived this blissful life. And just for fun, he was in a convenience store right down the street from his condo and bought one lottery ticket. He took it home and then didn't think about it and actually never even looked at it and threw it in the trash. He went back to the lottery, back to the convenience store to get whatever he got. And there was this little kid riding a bicycle. Little black kid riding a bicycle and said, did you hear that the person who won the lottery threw it in the trash? And the guy is saying, no, I never heard that. And so he didn't think much about it. And he bought his things and he goes back and he decides to look in the trash. He looks in the trash and he wins the lottery.
Oh, my gosh.
For millions and millions of dollars. He goes back to the convenience store and says, has anyone seen this kid riding a bike? And where he lives, there is nothing but condos and no houses anywhere to be seen. And no one had ever seen this kid because he wanted to thank the kid, give the kid money. And no one had ever seen the kid before.
Wow.
So how did he get – sorry to be repetitive. How did he get
– He didn't care about money.
Yeah.
He did not care about the money at all.
Because you hear people who win multiple times, you know, not – $10 or $2,000, but who win the big prize multiple times. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that can't be the right pick in numbers because it is just luck, quote unquote.
It's never luck. There is no luck. It's happening for a reason. The less you care about money, the easier it is to attract money. Unless money is just a fun thing for you to do. If your passion is money, then you can accumulate money. If that's a fun thing that you like, but if you think that money will make you secure, it'll make you less secure. If you think money will make you worthy, it'll make you feel less worthy. If you follow what you're interested in doing or what you are doing and doing it for the love of doing it, which you can do anything you're doing now for the love of it, Kyla can be in hospitals being completely in love with the job of taking pictures of babies if she wanted to. Wendy could be completely in love and enthusiastic about showing houses to people. You could be completely in love with finding stocks or talking to people about stocks or doing financial things with those people that you know now. And Alec could be completely in love with the process of translation, right? It's not something outside of you. You've already been led to what you're doing. You've already been led there. Okay, so the thing you're led to, there's information for you in that. It's not that that needs to be what you do for the rest of your life, but what you need has been given to you. It's that's the thing that you received. It's not an accident that you got there. You see?
Like the lottery, it's not an accident. So what I'm hearing you saying is that if I have these thoughts that it's going to improve this and this and this, and in fact it's going to do the opposite, then these are probably the areas which I want to be looking at and improving just by myself.
That's exactly. Mm. We couldn't have said that better ourselves. Mm-hmm. If you think that money is going to improve your sense of security, then what is happening is you're feeling insecure. Get over the feeling of insecurity, and then the universe will reflect how confident. We're not saying this is easy.
Mm.
It is easy, but given given your
habits,
your momentum created by a certain approach to life that has not been serving you, to change course in the middle of the sea is not realistic. But by working on it and working on your perception and us giving you a different perspective and reading and working on feeling blissed out and feeling blissed out, feeling fun and feeling love and feeling acceptance and realizing that nothing serious is happening and having faith that you've been taken care of because you have proof that you've been taken care of your entire life. That's all you have to do. But that we will say, we don't like to say the term work, but it is the work. We could say it is the play as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is the conscious creation of your life.
Mm.
It is the consciousness of your life.
Mm.
Yep.
Which has been my goal from the beginning, is to learn how to master that.
And you don't have to get there.
Yeah.
It isn't that you have 6 months to get there or a year to get there or 5 years. It's a process. And it gets better and a little bit 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 easier. The more you meditate, the more you converse with us, the more you converse with other like-minded people, the more you read, the more you listen for inspiration, the more you work on feeling good, the more you realize that the only thing that matters is how you feel, the less you pay attention to the lives of others, the less you allow them to influence you, the less you're focused on what you don't want rather than what you do want.
Mm.
You know, what do you want? You should always be saying to yourself, what do you want? What do you want? That should be my mantra. What do I want? What do I want? Yep. So if you
really
can
good.
Do that, that's all you have to do, but give up your attachment to any timetable or any idea of what it should look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is completely natural for someone to engage in a conversation or a course or a study or to expect an outcome that's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Gary was very much into motivational tools and seminars and things like that because he expected that he would make more money because of it.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
When you engage with us, you can expect to feel better. That's the outcome you should feel better.
Mm. Right? I do,
and that's
yeah.
a very ethereal thing to think of. What is that? What is feeling better? You know, what is feeling good? Well, if you come from not really feeling good to feeling really good, you will get used to feeling really good, and that will be your normal state of being. And you say, well, I feel really good. Now what do I want?
You know,
what's better than this? There's got to be something better than this. Not really. Feeling really good is really good. If you make $1 million, you're not going to feel that much better anyway, even if you had the right thought processes going on.
Oh, well, got some good stuff today.
As opposed to all the other times.
No, it gets better and better. The better it gets, the better
it gets. It gets better and better and better. Can you sense our enthusiasm with life? With being in the physical?
Yes.
If you just adopted this enthusiasm, this joy, this investment into how wonderful everything is and how thrilling it is to be here and how thrilled we are to be here. If you could just do that for a little bit of a time, people might think you're crazy, but you would manifest everything you wanted as quickly as you wanted because this is the ultimate state of allowing.
I feel like I've just started doing that like the vast majority of the time. And what I'm noticing is some people are falling away. Or that it's not always well received. I don't know, well received. And so I'm focusing on not letting that make me feel like there's something wrong or not choosing the perspective that I need to change somehow. I don't know.
Well, think about that. If you are getting everything that you want, everything that is emanating from your vibration is bringing to you everything that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you are moving to another level of beingness, of being of pure positive love and acceptance, you can accept the other people wanting to or falling away.
Right.
It is, but if you hold on to them, if you want to hold on to those other people, if you think it's wrong for them to leave, then you are denying what is happening is being for you.
Right. Oh, that feels good. Oh, goosebumps.
In this high emotional state of being, who wants to be surrounded by people living the old approach to life anyway?
Yeah.
But if you're not moving to the high emotional state, if you're not moving to the new approach to life, if you're not going up, those people will still be there holding you back down.
Right.
They'll be your evidence that you're not moving forward.
It would be the question of vibration. The vibrations have changed, and therefore they can't really.
You will never lose them. You are connected to them eternally. When you're non-physical, you'll get together and you go, wasn't that fun to play that role? Wasn't it fun to play that role? But as you become a vibrational match to something more, new, different people will enter your life, which will allow you to move forward.
I think that's what my unconscious fear was, like in the resistance that I had to these other people falling away, was I had a fear that other people wouldn't show up or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's true. But as you can see, other people are showing up all the time.
What do they say? The universe hates a void or something like that? How true is that, by the way?
That is very true.
Oh, okay.
No, the universe loves everyone. Voids, non-voids.
Semi-voids.
Yeah, or a vacuum. And a vacuum, sort of sucks everything towards you. So think of yourself as a big sucking vacuum. And sucking a match to your vibration. And whatever you're sucking in is what you're vibrating now.
Okay.
And if you see two people being sucked in, it means you are expanding.
Right. Okay.
And if you these teachings are transitional. Right? You are in alignment with us for a while, and then you might go on to something else. And then you might stay with us for a while, and then you might come back, and you might go and leave and come back. We are always here.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Transitional. Yeah.
Still waiting to suck that lottery ticket towards me.
I'm going to walk around saying, I suck, I suck.
I'd change that a bit.
I love it.
Does anyone have anything else? We have lots of time.
Wow.
We have...
You know, I do have a question because I was in a wee bit of a conundrum, well, when I think of it in hindsight. This girl I know knew a girl who she was sponsoring who committed suicide last week. And the girl I know was really, really upset about it, as one could imagine, except that I wasn't because of my beliefs and because I didn't know the girl, etc. And I just didn't really know what to say. And I'm thinking now maybe the best strategy is just to say nothing and give a hug, because people don't, you know, they come from where they come from. And so to say, well, actually, I'm sure she's in a better place and she's probably really happy. I think I did say that, but afterwards I was just like, oh, man.
That was a wonderful thing to say, because she's not in a better place, but she's moved from fear to love. She's transitioned from a life of fear, a life of insecurity, a life of no confidence to a life of pure love, pure positive love. She's transitioned from physical reality to non-physical. She had the experience that she needed when she was here. She chose to transition on her own terms, which is the most wonderful thing you can do, instead of linger afraid of the transition, right? So you can either get in an accident, in a car accident or a plane crash or something, which is a great way to go, or you can transition on your own. But then you have to – it's interesting. If you were to commit suicide, your physical human side would say, I wouldn't want to do that to the loved ones I left behind because they would feel bad. Mm. But when you were on the other side, you wouldn't care. Mm. Right? Because the only reason you care about how your loved ones feel is because it makes you feel bad. Mm. Right? The only reason you care about anything happening to anyone is how it makes you feel. Mm. Once you get that clear, right? And this was the topic of the last week's roundtable about kindness. Once you understand that everything you do is designed to make you feel good, then you're free to do what you need to do because this is your experience of life. This is your universe. And others are influencing you only to the extent which makes you feel good or bad. Right? So you commit suicide. Before you commit suicide, you might write a note. You might feel bad that they feel bad, but you felt bad anyway, so it doesn't really matter, right? Because if you felt good, you wouldn't be committing suicide. You would say, hey, this is great. This is an exciting place to be, but you feel bad. So you want transmission, and then you transition, and they may choose to feel bad if they see it from a limited perspective or not, but you can only see it from a love perspective of love, and then you are thrilled and excited to be in non-physical, looking back on the life that you had and all the experiences and perspectives that you gained from this life, which seemed like misery, but was just your perspective off from your inner self. Now you know something more, and then you can watch the lives of the others who are having bad feelings around, and you can see how interesting that is that they are taking it in a way that isn't true at all. And you can see how they are, their perspective is not aligned with their inner self's perspective, who their inner self is where? Non-physical, of course. And the inner self is saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong here. Everything's fine. They're just over here non-physical. You can talk to them if you want to. You can probably talk to them better now if you wanted to. There's no reason to be upset. The reason you're upset is because you're taking a limited perspective. Mm. If you change your perspective, you'll feel good again. But no, you can't let yourself feel good again because that would look weird. Right?
Mm. That's it. See, that's just what I realized while you were talking. There's a lot about the ego in this and how we want to be perceived or how I wanted to be perceived by this girl who just lost this person. I don't want to be perceived as cold-hearted or self-absorbed, despite the fact that I'm pretty relaxed about the whole idea just from what I've learned and because,
yes.
So it's about me.
That's about your persona, right? So you want to say words that will reflect well back on you.
Yeah.
So that you can see your friend thinking you said something good so you could feel good.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you didn't want her to feel good. You
forget about the girl.
She can go ahead and feel good. Yep. Wouldn't it be fun to say, you know what? Everyone chooses when they're going to die. Everyone. And so this person chose this day, but they could have chose a week later or a month later or a year later or 10 years later or 100 years later. It doesn't matter. They could have chosen to commit suicide or to get cancer or to die in a motorcycle accident or to slip and fall in the bathtub. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So the fact that you feel bad is only because you think that you could have done more. Right? But it was never up to you. It's up to them. It's their experience of life. Right? It's the best you could. And the only reason you did it was to make you feel good. Right? You had this persona that says, I am a loving person. I'm going to sponsor this person and help them through their tragedy. And I'm attached to the outcome that they never have a drink again and that they live for 100 years. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm going to feel bad. So I'm going to make sure that happens. By calling them and making sure that they don't drink and all this other nonsense. The only reason you're there is so you feel good. So you're still trying to control the conditions. And then when you can't control conditions because someone decides to transition on their own, then you take a limited perspective, feel bad because you're not aligned with your heart, with your inner self. So it's easy. You can see how it works. Just putting it into action and, you know, living in an environment of 7 billion people where there's, you know, 43 people who understand this new approach.
So should Kate just...
Where are the other 37? No.
Too afraid to get on this phone?
Too afraid, yeah. In the coming weeks. Come on, guys. Join us.
Oh, I was going to say maybe Kate should just send this conversation to her friend.
You know what? That crossed my mind. It did.
Yeah, that's how you allow people to move on.
Yeah.
Get out of your life. Isn't it weird?
Yeah, really.
That's an interesting concept, talking about being authentically yourself and unapologetically yourself. You are going to have people that will leave your life, and that's it's a good way to just.
And why would they ever leave your life?
Well, I mean, we're always attached. I get that, but not.
Why would they leave? Why would they leave if they thought you were weird?
Yeah, because I'm a Looney Tune, so they're fearful of me.
Fear, their own fear, and you have no control over their fear.
No.
However, if they were to live around you and could see your alignment, they would start to remember all of this information, because all they've been done, they all knew this coming in. Everyone on Earth knew this information coming in, and they were all influenced away from it by their culture. Or their parents or peers or whatever, right? And so you do a little general thing like The Secret, and people resonate with it. Mm-hmm. And then something else may happen, like a nice little saying, one of our quotes, and people resonate with it. And then little by little, they get involved, and they start getting more and more of it, and they can – you know, as long as it doesn't conflict with any of their tightly held beliefs, some of which are religious, they can say, well, this part is good, and I understand this part is good, and this part is good. And then when we say that everyone, you know, transitions whenever they want to, then they might jump off the boat at that point. Or when we say the only reason you're nice to somebody is because it makes you feel good, then they might jump off the boat there. But all we're doing is being authentically who we are, and all we can do is attract whoever's attracted to us, whoever resonates with this vibration. And so we have full faith in the universe that those who are ready for us will find us, and whether that's now or in the future, it doesn't matter to us at all, because we are eternal.
I was going to say, you're eternal.
Yeah.
And so you're – okay, that's interesting. When you said whoever's ready for us will find us, like – I have a Facebook page for my podcast, and I've been getting, like, randomly, people have just been liking my page, and I've been having some judgment, as, you know, like, assuming, oh, it's just some creeper, you know, but I know, I know.
What's wrong with creepers?
Nothing. That's what I realized. The other day, I was like, oh, my God, that's, like, this is my audience, you know, people who are up late at night searching sexy on Facebook and finding my page. Like, that's my demographic right there.
We wish we had a hook as good as your hook is.
How about, yeah, sexy talk with Joshua.
Yeah. I'm down. Okay. What? But so that's a good thing for me to remember, is that if those people are there, here's an example. There was this 20-something-year-old kid who just messaged and said, hey. And I, you know, I ignored a few of those messages, and then I just responded and said, hey, and then we had this conversation, and it was a manifestation of it, actually, because I said, do you have any questions? Because that was something I'd asked on the page, and he said, nah, this isn't a legit thing. You only have 9 likes.
Aww.
But I thought about it, and I don't know, I guess I still did get a little bit, I thought about it, and what I ended up responding was, well, if I knew as much about podcasting as I know about sex, I might have more likes. Like, and so he didn't ask me any questions, but like, that was an example where I was in the flow. Something came up. I got a chance to analyze it. Okay, this is a fear that I still have about all of this. You know, like, nobody's taking me seriously. So anyway, I don't know what I was.
Yes, because you are not the you that you will be when there are 2 million likes. That's a different you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so you can't see the you that you will be then. So enjoy the you that you are now.
Yeah.
Right. That's why you can only do what you can enjoy doing now, because you are only a vibrational match to who you are now and what your fears are now and what your desires are now. And that's what you get. And so interesting to see that someone was inspired to send you a note, and you were inspired to write back, and then you could see the fear that came up, the specific fear that came up.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can say, okay, excellent. This is something that I know about myself now, and that I can realize is an irrational fear. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't have to – what number of likes will validate you?
Yeah.
Right. Is it 19, 1900, 19,000, 19 million, 19 billion? Hmm. What number is it? Right. It doesn't matter what it is. You're not doing this for the likes.
Yeah.
You're doing this for the money. You're doing this because you enjoy it.
And maybe a lot of people's fears won't allow them to like it.
Hmm.
Even though they're following it.
That's a new belief. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have the ability to tell the empowering story.
Yeah. I am that just doing cool. it because it's fun. And what I like, what you were asking, like how many likes would make it feel like it was good. Like, I don't, what popped in my head was, I don't want anybody to like it. I just want to do it for fun and like having, I don't know, but I know that's not true.
You're attached to some sort of recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's natural, but it's not important. It's meaningless.
Yeah. I think I have a fear of the recognition.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm hearing
you
that.
You do. You have a big wobble there. A big wobble. You push and pull, you push and pull.
Yeah.
And the recognition isn't even for you anyway. It's for this pseudonym of
right,
you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's for your alter ego, your alter persona, we can say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can engage in doing what you want to do by being someone totally different and having the freedom. It's almost exactly what Gary's doing.
Okay.
Right? So Gary personally isn't attached to any of this because it's not him, it's us.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So you don't have to be personally attached to anything. You could make up this character.
Oh, my gosh.
And then live vicariously through the character and then go back to your normal life and wash the dishes.
I like it.
You know, what it reminds me of, Kyla, also a bit, the thought came to me, it's like I see these quotes about working out and the gym and how these people have these fabulous bodies and know how to do all of this stuff really, really well. But they had to start somewhere and they were really crap initially. Right. And it was just these baby steps which made that. And, you know, eventually they got to a place where they were like, wow.
Right.
But they had to start somewhere. And they had the desire.
Because and they the,
desire
the desire
got them in there in the first place.
Yes.
And the desire caused them to enjoy the exertion rather than the person who doesn't have the desire.
Right.
So imagine having a desire to sculpt this lean, beautiful body and having that such an intense desire that the exertion feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to somebody who says, I'm not attractive. I want to be attractive, and therefore I'm going to force myself to do this.
Mm.
Their exertion will not feel good, right?
Mm.
And so those people will give up because the desire is for something that is false. It's not for the creation of a lean, beautiful body because it would be fun to have a lean, beautiful body. It's because they feel unworthy in the body that they have, and they want to change that body so that they think that changing those conditions will make them feel worthy, and we all know that does not work.
Mm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep.
Hmm.
So think about what you want, right?
Mm.
And desire, you can ramp that desire up. But if you want things that you already have, like security, like worthiness, like you're here as a unique person, that your interests are valid, that your work is valid, that everything you do is, you know, doesn't have to prove anything to anybody.
Hmm.
If you're trying to prove yourself, as Gary was most of his life, it backfires.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you want to just do what you're inspired to do and feel comfortable in your own skin and be seek feelings of joy and enjoyment and feel good without worrying about being worthy or being secure or being, you know, taken care of, then you can focus on what you want and you can ramp up that desire and you'll be inspired how to do that.
Mm.
You don't have to figure it out.
That's good.
Wow. Got a lot of good revelations today.
We are amazing.
Mm-hmm. You really are. You really are.
We all are.
Lack of confidence. Yes.
You all are. When I say we, we mean we. We.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And with that, Alette, did you have a good time?
I had a wonderful time. Thank you. Thank you all.
Excellent. Thank you for being here. With that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. That was some good shit, guys.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.